Yo, hello, welcome to Wrestling Alliance Radio, episode 4 already, and we have a full-stacked guest of Jaybird, we have Rimrock, we have the Tribal Chef, we have Duck Goes Bang, and we're going to have a nice, amazing discussion right here. What we have going for right now is NXT, the pay-per-view that just happened. An amazing amount of matches. I thought maybe not their best or strongest NXT takeover at all. Definitely some entertaining stuff. Anybody want to take it away from me, Rimrock?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's going on?
Not much chilling. What up, brother? I enjoyed takeover. It was a well put together pay per view. Maybe one match didn't feel like it fit on the pay-per-view, but other than that, I feel it was pretty solid.
What was the one match?
The Mercedes Martinez match.
Everybody keeps saying the same thing. It didn't feel like it had any worth. It was just there. It felt like an NXT match that should have happened. We'll go with that, because, I mean, you have Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. Gentlemen, what do you guys feel about that match? I felt like it was good. They did what they needed to do. The right person won. What did you guys think?
It was solid but forgettable.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that the match was shit. The match was good, but like Rem said, like, it's just a match that I feel like they needed to fill a spot, and it was like, hey, you two, y'all not busy. Come here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. But Xia Li came out looking really strong. I mean, especially as an opponent of Mercedes Martinez, we got a lot in there in that match. Again, though, it didn't really mean shit, but the simple fact of maybe Xia Li is moving up in the ranks.
Fact. Well, but I mean, a little backstory about that also is that these two actually have a bit of a past. So, like, Martinez beat Lee in the Mae Young Classic back in 2017. So,
right,
it was good for her to get this win on her. So, there's that. But I don't remember or even think that they played that into, like, them kind of just building that up. At least that would have been kind of cool to know. But
I think they did try to play it with the did they do the pre-show again? And I didn't know they did the pre-show. Sorry, I didn't, like, I don't, like, tune into those pre-shows. I just, once I'm starting to go, I go at 8 o'clock. That's it.
Nah, I guess.
Same here. It depends. Right. A big pay-per-view, I watch the pre-show, but not every pay-per-view.
Alright, so not the pre-show. I want to hear everybody's thing about the matches. So, I mean, we could just move on because that was a forgettable match, like everybody's already saying. The other match that we had was the winner takes all NXT North American and NXT Team Championship 6-man tag match, Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma. I felt like this is kind of their answer for how the Young Bucks are on their end, because they definitely, MSK just be hitting out the park, and Bronson Reed is just a good big man. Once you see him tag in, he's dominating. He's fucking shit up, and it reminds me of Young Vader. What do you guys feel?
Facts. I mean, facts. Like, I mean, shit. I mean, he is.
Clearly, was there anything was there anything within the matches that actually brought out to you, like, yo, that's crazy, or this is crazy, or whatever like that? Any spots that you guys saw that you were like, this is why wrestling is good still?
Man, I feel the barricade spot has been overplayed. We always seeing people take people through the barricade, and I mean, I feel like it's overplayed. Really, the right reason I liked NXT is because they were focusing more on the wrestling aspect. Now they're doing barricade shots. Now they're doing this. Now, I have missed a few, Pat, about a month of NXT before this. So, but last time I was watching, it seemed like it was more wrestling. And that barricade spot seemed out of place for me. I really just wanted to see them a good old, put on a good old wrestling clinic, watch them all just wrestle instead of going out inside.
Stay in the ring. Yeah. Stay in the ring and make it a wrestling match.
Yeah, I'm really getting tired of all wrestling, whether it's AEW, NXT. I want to see some in-ring stuff. I'm getting tired of let's take it out of the ring. And like, I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, I'd rather see them wrestle because they're all great wrestlers. Everything I've seen of those, they've put on great matches. I wish they would have focused more on the matches instead of doing that barricade spot.
Barricade spot was a bit much, and it goes along with the top tope suicida that we see in every damn match, apparently. And, you know, I kind of agree. The barricade spot wasn't even needed. I think we need to see more Bronson Reed dominating more in the matchup because they're pushing him really hard with the North American title. And then also they're pushing, I feel like they're going to start pushing him against Karrion Kross. Hopefully not. Mm-hmm. Not right now, though.
He does very well in his solo matches when I do catch him on NXT. Bronson is dope. I like him. I like him a lot. He's dope.
His finisher, the tsunami, it just works. It's just a splash. But a splash from a big man, it works. And it works as a complete finisher, which is great. Does anybody else have anything to say? What happened?
I said, you know, nobody's getting up from that. It's realistic.
Nah, man. Hell no. It's the same thing with Walter. Walter has entered matches with the splash from the top. And he's a 300-pound dude, like 310 or something like that. Like, you not getting up. You should not get up. It should be the finish. And that's what we got to appreciate there. Bronson Reed with the win with MSK. But I believe the next match was the $1 million championship ladder match. LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, like, what do you guys feel about those two characters, first off?
I just want to say how great LA Knight is, going from being a veteran of the ring and kind of having, like, multiple gimmicks like Eli Drake, but never really finding himself. I kind of think he found himself with the LA Knight character.
Facts.
What you guys think?
I agree. LA Knight. I was watching him in NWA before they stopped because of the pandemic, but I liked him. So to see him lay in the NXT and they actually push him like immediately, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Cameron Grimes also grew on me. He's funny as shit. I like him there.
The man that came into a watch store to order a $1,000 watch or whatever it was with his hair all out, the top hat and all this shit. And I was like, man, this guy gonna go places. Maybe not top, but he definitely has a career. Definitely going for him, I feel. LA Knight, from what I heard when he was on another podcast, if I say, I guess, Busted Open Radio, if you guys follow that as well, he says they give him the mic. They let him go and then say what he wants to say on NXT. Here's the thing. LA Knight to the main roster, is that going to ruin him, though?
NXT is carving the old path. And a lot of the other NXT talent is really not trying to leave or get called up. So if you have the option to stay in NXT, don't leave.
Right. you're warning everybody. Don't leave, guys. Please stay. NXT has been doing pretty good. I mean, their pay per views have not missed. They've been hitting everything. And what did you guys feel about the match though? In LA Knight versus Grimes for the title, for the $1 million belt title. Sorry,
I think they did a great job. I think, you know, I'm just talking about when I want to see wrestling, they did great. They built up to the spots with the ladder. It wasn't just jump out and get the ladder like you see most people do and instantly try for everything. They built up for it. they, and then when they did bring the ladder in, it still took several attempts to make a successful attempt for anything to begin with. And then the brawl at the top of the ladder was great. Everything was great. With that match,
I feel like Grimes really
shined.
That's
probably my favorite
actually.
Match of the night.
Oh, that's your top pick for the match? Not all right.
I think it would be.
Because, I mean, Grimes really, like, he, like, shined. LA Knight looked like a million fucking bucks. I'm sorry to say, but, dude, if he doesn't have a strap on his back from his performances, how he talks, how he acts, even when they did the global interview that Saturday, which made NXT even feel like a bigger pay-per-view, even it wasn't, but they made it feel like it was great. LA Knight definitely stands out a lot, man. I picture him being an NXT champion like soon enough, period. Anything on you guys in?
I agree.
Yeah. Alright. Also, making $1 million
Any highlights from the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think they did a great job of making the $1 million belt feel almost as important as like the world championship, like they did in the old school WWE.
They did. I mean, it made it like when they were grabbing for it, you're like, oh my God, he's going to win. It's like, wait, this title is like not really a title you fight for anyway or whatever like that. It's just was it ever fought for in WWE back in the day? Or was it just you put it on somebody and that's it? I forgot.
More like a prop if I can remember.
Yeah, I think that was just
You beat that guy, now I'm the $1 million champion, whatever, fuck you.
Yeah, I don't think it was nothing serious. Yeah, I don't think it was nothing serious.
But these two made it serious, and that was a good point. Like, they made it feel like it was actually a serious title. And I'm pretty sure that has to draw a face, smile across this guy's face. You know, the $1 million man himself, Ted DiBiase, seeing himself just resurrected through WWE NXT. You know, he's having a good time. Thankfully.
You know he's
all right. We're going through this pretty fast. NXT Women's Championship match: Raquel Gonzalez versus Ember Moon.
I think that was a good match. I enjoyed that match. I'm glad with the outcome.
I am too. It's just that I felt like I don't remember much about that match either. It was like there were some high points. There was Ember Moon getting wrecked a lot, and I was shocked about that because she's looked to be like an animal, like, you know, like she can attack at any moment, like a fierce warrior and whatnot, and. I mean, that was a lot of pain to go through. I mean, Raquel Gonzalez is no small competitor, and she whooped ass.
She is.
To say the least. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but like, did any of us really think Ember Moon was going to win that one?
No.
Nah.
Right.
No, I would not. No, I wouldn't have said that. It was good to see Ember Moon still doing singles matches. She's been doing the tag team stuff. It did just come off an injury, right? Like a couple of months ago. So I'd rather her not just like jump in there too much. I want to see her on the main roster. Well, I mean, she was on the main roster right before, or am I bugging? Right. He took her back. Maybe she needs to just have her own thing. She has to have a more distinctive gimmick, in my opinion, I think.
I don't think she fits in the main roster.
Does it fit in the main roster?
Yeah, I don't think Ember Moon style. She's more NXT style. From what I've seen her wrestle, she seems like she's better. Her skill sets and everything. Is better with the women on the NXT roster than they are with the women on the main roster.
Is that because, I mean, from what I see on the main roster, from what we see from women's matches, it feels like they just do like, hey, you got 10 minutes, do what the best you can. On the NXT, they're like, all right, here's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and you see we've heard producers that they've interviewed on podcasts. And women wrestlers say, well, we just tell the women, go out there, you got 10 minutes, make it happen. Do what you can to kill these 10 minutes. They don't.
Terrible.
The only people only women they care about on that main roster is Charlotte Flair.
I won't just say because it's by name. Charlotte Flair can wrestle. But the name does help. It's not looking good though. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's going good. Too much of Charlotte Flair is leading to when you're gonna start having fans back in the arena, you're gonna have a lot of booing, and it's not gonna be the booing of I don't like this person. It's like I don't wanna see this shit. You know?
Just like I think they're gonna overkill Lashley and McIntyre. But that's a different topic. We're talking about the
Oh God, please let's not overkill that. Oh Lord. I mean, we'll get to that too if we want to.
I was gonna say I don't want to mess up the pay-per-view review. Sorry about that.
All right, the pay-per-view review for right now, Raquel Gonzalez, Ember Boone, anything that stands out to you guys, any spots that you were like, whoa, that hit me. Anything else?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I ain't pay attention to the match because I knew Ember Moon was gonna lose. Like, not to even say that it was like a bad match. It's just I didn't really care because I knew that she was gonna win, and like I wasn't really invested in it. So
yeah, I was like frying chicken during the match, so I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean that says a lot. That you know, usually NXT has these matchups, and then you're like, I don't know who's gonna win. I want to sit down and watch this, and then apparently this is the bad egg of the group, apparently, along with the other women's match, which I will not say any of the women matches were not bad. It was just not memorable.
I can't remember who said. I don't know who said this, but somebody said bathroom break when the match came on. I don't remember. It was one of the women matches where somebody said bathroom break, and I was like, damn.
Ouch. I mean, I at least pay attention somehow. You know?
Yeah.
That's harsh. That's harsh. I would not say bathroom break at all. It was definitely a good match, though. Let's move on to the NXT Championship Fatal 5-Way. With our guys Karrion Kross, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, and Johnny Gargano with the Johnny Way, or whatever you call it, Gargano Way. First off,
I'm gonna get this off first thing before anybody says anything about it. I did not like the match. I thought it was trash. And the reason I think it was trash is because I'm tired of wrestlers taking bumps, taking what we're used to being called finisher moves or taking big bumps and then acting like it didn't even affect you down for what? 1-2 seconds? And then that's a good sell.
Nope.
There was a lot of no selling in that match last night and it was fucking ridiculous. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can cuss or not on this.
No, you can't. You can't cuss. This is a podcast. This isn't YouTube where we gotta semi-edit ourselves. I'll have to do that myself if we need to go through YouTube, but you have a point. You have a great point. Actually, I'll add on to that. I did not like it. They followed the same formula of, oh, take a big hit, and then all of a sudden you roll out the ring for like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, are you serious right now? They really followed the formula of 2K20, 2K2019 with the video game. If you get hit by a big move, you're automatically rolled out the ring. You have to like resuscitate. I was like, are you fucking kidding me with this shit? It was a bad look. And what you just said, it added more to it. And I felt like the main event lacked. It was good in a sense, but then it kept hitting the same wrong spots in another sense too. What do you guys think?
You got guys that can wrestle, and WWE, for it to be so anti-AEW, and AEW to be so anti-WWE, they did nothing but spots in the match all night. It was a bunch of big move spots, and it's the same thing they take and say, well, we're better than AEW. We don't do this, this, and this. You just did the same fucking setup AEW does for 2 hours every Wednesday, Friday, or whatever. In a main event pay-per-view to where you're showing your best guys. And you're like, oh, well, we'll just do a spot match.
I agree. And, I definitely agree with that.
And that's what I felt it was. I felt it was a giant spot, and it wasn't worth a damn. And it really wasted my time watching it. I enjoyed whole pay-per-view up to that one spot.
So the Fatal 5-Way, you wasn't a fan at all? Oh, you said up until that one spot. Okay.
Up until when it started off great. But then it started becoming a spot show, and I'm just like, disappointed,
you know. Once it started hitting, let's hit the spots in the match, I get what he's saying. It's kind of similar to when people are, if I may, Jay, and everybody else, to say like how the Young Bucks matches are when they start doing spot for spot, and you see it. You've been watching wrestling enough times, you see the spots happening, and flow. You see it flow out there, and you're like, no, come on now, make it more organic.
The double super kick should have been the end of the match. That should have been it.
That was a good damn spot, and but then who should have gotten the cover? That's the thing. Cross, who should have gotten that win?
I don't think Cross could have afforded the loss. Right. Maybe there could have been. Cross could have done a heelish move. When they did the double superkick, they started fighting each other.
Yeah.
Came in on the line and been like, 1, 2, 3, and that was it. And then you could have built a whole lot more story off of that, in my opinion. But I don't know. I'm not a writer.
Yo, none of us are writers, but we're fans. And then the fans are literally like, I'll tell you this. A lot of us have great ideas. I always see great ideas posted within our group. Again, our group is Wrestling Alliance, World Wrestling Alliance on Facebook. You guys can always join us. Talk with us, discuss, post if you want to, once you're approved, of course. But still, this is what the conversation is about. The audience, we are the audience, we're the fans. But we have a right to say something because of this stuff. If you didn't enjoy the main event, then damn well you didn't enjoy the main event, and you got a good, solid answer for why you didn't.
But there are times where, like, the hate is a little weird, bruh, and, like, I can't even say it because we're fans, this, that, and third. Like, it's cool not liking some things. I mean, there's some things people just not gonna like about their favorite shows. But, I mean, fuck, bruh. Like, if you gonna hate a show every fucking week, why are you watching it? If you gonna hate a show every pay-per-view, and this isn't towards Jason or anything, I'm just saying this in general.
No.
Like, why do you watch it, bruh? Like, and I'm not saying this to him. This isn't about anybody, period. This is just a thing. It's like, bro, like, I don't know. Like, I watched, like, I'm 17 seasons in, or is it 16 seasons in the Grey's Anatomy, right?
Okay.
16 seasons. That's a lot of seasons. Imagine me at season 3 critiquing every fucking season and every episode of Grey's Anatomy and watch it all the way up to 16. You're going to ask me, why am I still watching it?
Because you want to see the product improve.
You want to see fair, it.
Yeah.
I did you that with Arrow.
What?
Every episode of Arrow. And once they did the whole Felicity stuff, I critiqued it every week, all the time, and talked about how much I hated it. But every Wednesday, I still sit down. I still watch it.
Bro, why are you watching it? Like, what, do you really hate it, or do you really just love it at this point? Because you really,
like, could love to hate something, bro. Like, you just want to see it, like, they're gonna all fuck right, up today bro. Again.
Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment,
bro.
There you go.
Listen, I'm a glutton for punishment. I love punishment. Take that joke however you want to take it. But
yeah, we'll take that sometime.
Right, you masochist.
You can take that joke however the fuck you want to take it. But all I'm saying is,
weirdo, like,
if you're going to sit there and watch something that long, like, my time is precious to me. I'm not going to waste my time with something I don't like. Like, if you like something, cool, you like it. If you're going to critique it, okay, cool. But to downright hate every fucking episode.
No, he never said he hated every episode.
He didn't. He said he critiqued every episode. Critiquing and hating are two different things.
Yes, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Critiquing and hating is two different things. I can critique the shit out of something, and nobody has an issue, because this is something that's been brought up in a group. By me, I believe Pat, Todrick, a lot of people have brought up this point. And it's like, if you're a fan of something, and you say you're a fan, why are you watching this show if you quote-unquote hate everything about it? And it's just truth. Like, you can critique things, because, hey, if I'm like, hey, this match was cool, but the one thing I didn't like is this. Like, even right now, this match is cool. Fuck is these jackasses doing right now? Coming to the ring. Something I don't need to see. This is stupid. Yeah, I don't like it.
I already hear what you're talking about and then what you're seeing right now, but we're not going to include that right now.
I'm sorry, Roland is playing while we're recording this right now,
and it's funny as shit. And we have no idea why the Viking Raiders just came out for the McIntyre match. But
because the Viking Raiders are actually number one
tag titles. I had it. Wait.
Let's finish. Let's finish the review of the NXT Fatal 5-Way. I feel that Karrion Kross came off looking like a complete beast. If you think about it, they always had to constantly take him out of the match. They always have to make sure that he's destroyed by a double team move. And then every time he came back in, he was tossing dudes like they were sandbags for his pleasure. Karrion Kross, I mean, he has the sleeper move that he put on Kyle O'Reilly, and then he got the match. I feel like Kyle O'Reilly was probably going to be the W on that match. I would love to see that. No. But Karrion Kross still needs time with that title.
That whole entire match had the same vibe as the women's title match. Like, did you really think Karrion Kross was going to lose? Be honest.
Not at all.
Nope.
There's nobody in NXT that I feel, and it's kind of similar to Roman Reigns on SmackDown and Bobby Lashley on Raw. Nobody's beating them. There's nobody on the roster currently that they've built.
And then Walter in NXT UK, it's the same thing. We have these super dominant heel champions, and then should we even be mad at this? This looked good.
Like, people said it like old school wrestling. Like, this is exactly what happened in the old days. You had champs that were built for years with the belt. Years.
Do you think it's because... I was going to say to Pat, do you think, in your opinion, and I might feel this way too, and depending on if you agree with this or not, because this is how I feel, do you think it's because there isn't really a seriousness put on the mid-card titles, like the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title? Like, Miz was the last, I ain't gonna say the last good one, but he's one of the good ones in recent years to do wonders with that Intercontinental belt. Mm-hmm. To a point where that belt meant a lot more than the actual main title. Do you think that the reason why that there isn't nobody that can quote unquote take them down is because they're not building at the bottom level?
No, I think it's actually quite the opposite. I think that they are building the talent in mid-card, because you look at SmackDown, Apollo Crews, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they're all doing fantastic in the mid-card, competing for the title. My reasoning will probably be different from anybody else's. I think it's because of the pandemic. That's why we have strong champions. Because if you think about it, when you have a crowd in attendance, they're the ones who gauge whether or not a superstar is popular. So chances are, let's say if you got a guy like... throw it out there, AJ Styles. AJ Styles is a great wrestler, great competitor. That's from not being in WWE. That's from years in TNA, years in Japan, years in Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And then he brought it over to WWE, so that just kind of carried over. Without a crowd, you kind of have to focus on how good the actual wrestler's character is, how good the actual promos are. And then using Roman Reigns for an example, there's no crowd to boo him. There's no crowd to cheer him. It's just, okay, you're actually paying attention to Roman the character, Roman the promoter. And that's what's kind of making these champions seem great, is that they're actually getting a chance to develop their characters and develop their promos. And I guess because there's no crowd there to boo or to cheer them, it helps to kind of build the confidence a bit.
I agree. I agree with that point. I think, I was going to say, to explain what I was saying was like, as far as like, and I agree with his point. What I was more so saying is not necessarily talent itself, because the talent is there. But what I mean is there's nobody at that ground level to build up as champions. Last night we had a conversation and, I think it was Jason that said that there was no champions or nobody to really take somebody down. Like, who's going to be the one to do it either on SmackDown or Raw? And
there's not, there's nobody there.
Yeah, and he said it's not.
There's nobody on any platform. There's nobody on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, or NXT UK.
See, but that's the thing. I get why y'all say that, because, again, we're looking at, like, the same recycled shit, but look at it like this. My man, Cesaro went from, as much as me and Pat joke around about Cesaro, we both know he's good, but, like, we seen this man go from nothing to something. Like, we know he always had something, but he was always in the nothing area. Like, he wasn't doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, he challenged Roman, and then his stock went up. And I think it has to do with a lot of things that was going around it. But I think that you're always going to get, when a new challenger appears, their stock is going to go up, and they're always going to look quote-unquote strong.
I'll say it's more of who the opponent is. Roman is making anybody who faces him look like an actual threat. And then, you know, he'll kick out of finishers and stuff like that. Yes, he's the end level boss. Yes, but he made Cesaro look amazing, and I'll give it up to him because that match was amazing. You have to give credit to who the champion is. Look at, and like I say, Walter makes anybody's big, small. The match with Ciampa was match of the year candidate. I loved it. He won off a chop, I think, right? What was it, chop? Pow. Pinned. And that was it. Because they make their opponents look like a million bucks, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Them chops are rough.
Rough? I'm pretty sure that motherfucker could cook chicken in one chop. Ah, look at that shit. Chicken. There you go, motherfucker.
I'm about to try it.
Yo, Pat Lee's gonna have a new fucking, not Instagram, but it was a TikTok.
He's
gonna chop and chipping the whole time. 10,000 chops and shit.
But there's honestly, everybody that the WWE has got rid of, with the exception of a few people, could have been great contenders for the main titles. Black would have been a great contender for the main title.
Right, yes.
Braun was already a contender
for the title.
And he was being built good, but then all of a sudden they're just like, eh. Forget him. Let's send him home. Granted, he did have a $4 million contract or something.
He did have a $4 million contract. He got paid. But here's the thing now. Did you see how much he's charging per every time he's on the show?
I heard it's like six figures or seven figures.
No, whoa.
Nah, it's 10 stacks, bro. It's like 10 stacks.
Like, holy shit.
Bro, go to get these.
You asking me as an independent wrestling community to be like, I'm gonna give you $100K to mess up my guys? No, bro.
Did y'all see where he shaved his beard? It don't even look like himself anymore.
That's fine. Let him go. Let him have a new look. Why not? He should have a new look, man. Why stick with what he was with? Let him be a new person. He needs to be his own person.
Samoa Joe could have took a title. No. I could have seen Samoa Joe taking a title from Roman.
Yes.
Braun a year ago and Samoa Joe maybe 2 years ago could have probably taken the title, but Braun hasn't grown since Get These Hands. He was brought in to what? Stop Roman Reigns, and that's how he got popular. But as far as that goes, hasn't improved since Get These Hands. Power Slam is an unbelievable finisher. But you really think Roman Reigns going to die to a Power Slam?
He's ever been.
I always felt like the Power Slam didn't make any. It didn't help give him any. You remember when he started and he did that like choke out thing? He would just lift somebody up and choke them out. I was like, "Oh, you could do that shit now as a heel if you wanted to," and then like, you know, choke them out. You remember those that submission?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was weird, but it actually does work. You can do that. Like,
they don't even hold them. They even need to like hold them in the air. Like, what is that shit called? A tongue in death grip? With Ming would just grab your shit and just choke you out in the ring.
Yeah. I remember that.
So weird, but like it was effective.
Right. Them big ass hands, all he gotta do is just look at you and just put his hands around your neck and choke the shit out you.
So for
the NXT, how about we do this? For the NXT review, what do you guys give it? 1 to 10? What's going on? Or did something stand out to you that much for the pay-per-view?
The end of the pay-per-view stood out for me. Like, I'm really curious as to seeing what William Regal has in store for NXT's future. Will it be a new GM, new blood, bringing somebody new in?
Right. That's the rumor. That's the rumor that's going around.
Yeah,
I'm more interested. I usually read the reviews on NXT and might catch highlights, watch a highlight reel. Is what I usually do with NXT, but from what I seen last night with William Regal and all, I think I'm going to tune in tomorrow. I think I'm going to tune in and watch it.
That's what we need. We need more people tuning in for that stuff, man. NXT does not do a bad pay-per-view. Even with their stuff being subpar half the time with the matches, that's fine. But I'm glad everybody actually at least enjoyed. We enjoyed NXT. Can we say that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Cool. So I wanted the verses today, but we're not going to do that. What we can do is drop into the conversation of Mick Foley.
Okay.
Legend himself, Mick Foley. As any version versus any current active wrestler in the world, who would you have him face off against? We have some really interesting answers right now. I mean, I'll read off the answers first, and then you guys can let me know about this. Christopher A., I'm not going to say full names. I'll say Christopher A. Him and The Fiend would have been awesome. DMC said, if I had free reign on gimmicks, past and present, my pick would go to the Demon Finn Balor. I think they could produce a story and a half. I think that's true, too. Terrence W. said, Big versus Roman would be compelling TV. Both would give some amazing promos and wage wars in the ring. Oh, okay, that's cool. Pat Lee, you had your own conversation. You had your whole thing for each character, which I love, so I'll save that for you to do. Mallard, you had your Heath Slater conversation for that.
Hey, and listen, I stick to it, bro.
Let's not laugh on Heath Slater. Don't play Heath, man.
I'm not playing Heath. I just didn't expect
you got kids. Remember that.
Hey, fuck them, kids.
I'm going to say Kevin Owens versus Katniss Jack. All right, wait.
And then we have Chris Cross Bagstein. I don't understand fully. New Jack. Oh, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, and Mankind versus The New Day. Which even wow. Me and Pat Lee were like, oh, that sounds dope too, because I mean you gotta look at it how it is. So let's fire off on the first one. Him and The Fiend would have been awesome. What do you guys feel about him and The Fiend though?
I think it would have led to them being tag team champions.
Thank you. I thought the same thing as soon as I saw it. I was like, because they're kind of similar in wanting abuse. They're masochistic characters.
Promos would have been great to see the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse versus Royal Rumble Mick Foley. Would have been great.
Right.
I'd have loved to seen that. As far as The Fiend versus him, promo wise, I'd rather have seen, you know, Bray Wyatt versus Mankind than Mankind versus The Fiend.
I think that makes sense in a way that I was thinking about how this whole thing could be introduced. Like, I agree. I think that The Fiend would more or less be his friend. Maybe the friend that lives in his head or the friend that lives within him. And Bray Wyatt would be just a dude that we know that Bray Wyatt is The Fiend. But who's to say that, and I came up with this idea like a minute ago, where like this, the Fiend could just be in all of us. Like he's a symbiote. Like think Carnage, think Venom. Like he could be that. He can latch in, he can take on and bring out these things in me. Mankind was just a product of people's
That is a tasty fucking topic, man. That is amazing, actually. If they could write it out good, though.
It wouldn't be
hard. I mean, like,
if you think about it, Bray Wyatt's, The Fiend's characters are all based on Hurt and Heel, so he could realistically bring out all three versions of Mick Foley in, like, a couple of promos and go back and forth.
In one match.
Exactly.
Right. It brings out the best evil part of you. And like, boom, now you have The Fiend and Bray Wyatt as tag team champions raising hell. You know, there's so many ways that can happen. It's like, yo, here's a man that's so happy-go-lucky versus a dude who has been tormented and hurt mankind by all of men. You know what I'm saying? Just somebody who is basically the embodiment of the evil of men. Just, this is what's created because of that. Not being loved, not being seen, things like that can create a fiend-like figure. So,
I think a lot of people forget why the Mankind figure actually came to be, and that was the background. You remember that. And that's amazing, actually. He was trying to feel like, this is a fall of all of us. You hit the nail on the head. Perfect. Oh my god, that was amazing, man. Wow.
Hey man, WWE League 2022 coming out, bro. You gonna see the craziness.
It's not the crazy, but you know what? I want the crazy, and I want the good and the bad, and I want the ugly. Because this is an open discussion for everybody within the podcast. That's what we're supposed to do. So obviously, what about the second one, Liam C? Obviously, I'm not going to use the whole name. Demon Finn Balor versus, he didn't say directly, I guess Foley, I guess. But I mean, Mankind, Foley, in a sense. What would you guys think about that?
That one I feel like actually would be the better feud than Fiend versus Mankind. And the reason being is that I feel that whereas we say that Bray Wyatt could bring out the best in Mankind with the three faces of Foley, it would be the opposite. It would be Mankind's characters bringing out the best in Finn. we'll start off with, like, you know, Finn Balor in his regular happy-go-lucky kick-ass babyface mode, teaming with Dude Love. Dude Love suddenly turns heel, goes into the Mankind mode, fucks up Finn Balor, you know, takes him out for a couple of months, we forget about him. Then he decides, okay, I'm Cactus Jack now. He turns hardcore, starts running roughshod, beating everybody up, and that's when we bring the demon in. And then you get that evolution of Finn Balor, and then you have that one epic match to finish it off. But give me like an old school hardcore match, thumbtacks, barbed wire bats, and have it on NXT.
The safest bet would have been, exactly. I don't know how much he could go far with that. I don't think thumbtacks they're gonna try to do that too much. Especially with Finn Balor, I think he wants to, like, save his face for that shit. Bro, like, he's like a hottie for, you know, the female fans, of course. But, that match alone just sounds like it'd be incredible. I mean, can you imagine just Finn Balor just, like, he's probably gonna, like, do the double stomp through a table into thumbtacks or some craziness, and it's gonna be amazing. That'd be warranted, too.
Well, to be fair, the question was Demon Finn Balor. It was Demon Finn Balor specifically. So, like, as great as it would be, we gotta unfortunately treat those two as separate entities. Why? I have no clue, because WWE is weird at times. Granted, they're the same person. So, like, a Demon Finn Balor versus all three would work. I just think it really just genuinely depends on how you, like, do it. One, who would be face and who would be the heel? Like, I feel like Mankind in this situation would be, or my bad, Mick Foley in this situation would be the heel. All
right. To Demon Finn Balor, because everybody wants Demon Finn Balor to come back, and I have no idea why they excluded Demon Finn Balor.
I'm mad it's a whole thing. I'm mad that it's just separate from the two, because like Finn or Prince Devitt, whatever you want to call him, his whole thing was just having these designs on his body. Like, the demon thing, like Finn. Like, Finn Balor in itself is a weird character, because Finn was the hero that killed the demon Balor. So why Finn Balor? I have no fucking clue, but I get it. Whatever. It's something he wanted. Whatever.
Yeah, we get that. I mean, Pat Lee, you had three different answers, and all those answers, I love it. First he said, Mankind versus Seth, Cactus Jack versus
I'm actually going to change one of those.
Oh, I was gonna go through them real quick.
Okay, go ahead,
Dude Love versus Orange Cassidy, and I mean, you said a little explanation for each one. So Mankind versus Seth. Let me hear that one first.
The Tribal Chef is having technical difficulties right now.
Yeah, sorry, I got disconnected.
Doop doop. I hear him. He had a good point on there. I mean, if I can, I can go to the next one. We had somebody said Cactus Jack versus John Moxley. No holds barred.
I mean, that has to be
something that's amazing.
It would be, but as long as it's on CZW, I'm good. Like, I'm just keeping it a beam, bro. Like, I don't want to see that in WWE. I don't want to see it in NXT. I don't want to see it in AEW. I don't want to see it in fucking Ring of Honor. I don't want to see it in New Japan. That shit has to be on a cassette tape, or you can only find on YouTube, bruh, for that match to be what it needs to be, bruh. I'm
dead. And that would actually smack so hard, too, like, if you just have it. We actually just had that, because, you know what? It's like one of those you gotta save, and you're like, it's mine now.
Right.
I have the ECW recording from fucking 20 years ago, and I'm like, yo, this is my tape. Don't touch my tape, bro. Right? So... It was, if I can recall it, it was RVD versus when this guy first won against RVD, what's his name? Jerry Lynn. He actually got his ever first win, and I popped in my own living room. And my parents are like, "Why are you so happy?" Like, listen, you don't know. Oh, Pally, you're back. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I got disconnected.
It's all right. So you know what you said? Mankind versus Seth, Cactus Jack versus Kenny Omega, Do Love versus Orange Cassidy. So each one, I want to hear your whole. I'm pretty sure you're gonna have a whole theory about each one. So let's start with Mankind versus Seth.
All right, cool. So most of the old school fans who watch wrestling, y'all remember Shawn Michaels versus Mick Foley, Mind Games. And we remember how that was, in Foley's own words, his best match. Now,
it was, yeah.
I'll go to bat and argue, and this isn't talking about Shawn Michaels as a whole. 97, Shawn Michaels doesn't compare to the Seth Rollins of now. I feel like Seth Rollins now could produce better matches, more exciting, more athletic matches, and he'd be a better fit to face Mankind in that kind of mind games match. Could probably do a match of the year with that. That's why he'd be my pick. It wouldn't even be based on like promos or character, just simply a good wrestling match.
All right, cool. What about the Cactus Jack versus Kenny Omega?
That's the one I actually want to change.
You want to change it?
Thought of a better one. Cactus Jack versus The Miz.
Oh yeah, you said earlier how you changed that.
So the reason why I changed it to Cactus Jack versus The Miz is because I think of The Miz's character now. This heel from Hollywood, thinks he's better than everybody, goes on and flaunts about how good looking he is, the fancy suits, the hot wife. And then you have Cactus Jack, the roughneck, the guy who doesn't really care whether you're a pretty boy or a wrestler, he's gonna fuck you up regardless. Miz would do any and everything to avoid any type of hardcore move from Cactus Jack, whether it be getting hit in the face with a chair, barbed wire bat, you name it. And I feel
it would kind of like mimic almost, like kind of with Randy Orton. Remember, he didn't want to take any bumps. No, during the match, he took the bumps. It's just that simple fact of like he wasn't trying to take the bumps with Cactus Jack. So it was like, oh, fuck. So similar to that, if you're going to say that.
Yeah, kind of similar to that too. And also, I can just imagine a promo where Mankind is about to hit Cactus Jack in the face. I'm sorry, Cactus Jack's about to hit Miz in the face with a chair or something, for example. And Miz goes to great lengths to try to avoid the chair shot, even going as far as trying to throw his wife in the way to show how big of a heel he is. And then just one moment in the match, boom, he gets hit in the face with a chair and then has a mask like Cody Rhodes did when he was dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yes. That would actually, that whole, can you be a writer for them, please? Can you join the Raw team and then write some stuff? Because, I mean, a lot of stuff you say that comes out of your mouth, the tribal chef, I'll say this. Damn well is good wrestling, in my opinion, and good storytelling, but we're lacking in that shit. And it's really good. It's terrible. It shouldn't be like that.
I mean, that's only because I feel like personally, like, we only miss it because the fans itself won't allow this shit to build. We want everything right here, right now.
I agree. We don't know what we want, and then we get it, and we don't want it.
Right, like, guess what y'all got?
Exactly what you asked for.
You got you got Roman as a goddamn heel. And guess what? As a heel, motherfuckers still hating on him. Like, you get what you get, they give you what you want, and it's always something. So, like, I think even if we was to have good, quote-unquote, storytelling, it really won't be.
You're going to still have haters coming on stating that, oh, Roman's not cool, or no, like, the fuck out of here. He's been being that beast of a person that he is, and then killing somebody.
Need those voices in the ring. We need those voices in the group because me and Pat say the shit, we Roman fans, yeah. Which I want to say it on here, so it's recorded.
Yes, sir.
I am more of a Seth fan than I am of a Roman fan. I've said this for years.
Okay.
I've said this for That's years. Fine. Pat knows, everybody knows this. I just want to reiterate because everybody thinks I'm this Roman fanboy. I love Roman. Have no issues with Roman. More of a Seth guy than I am a Roman. Yeah,
you know, I've never been a Roman fan. We all know it. Okay. We all know everything. Right. We all know everything I've ever said about him. I've said some pretty rough stuff about him. But right. I got to give the man his due. As a heel,
there you go.
With Paul Heyman holding the reins, you want to call it. Yeah. I would say that it's his best work, and he's on track to be where the WWE wanted him to be.
You said Paul Heyman stuff, because I feel like, and it's not a knock on Paul Heyman or anything, but Roman doesn't need him right now. If you look at their promos, Paul doesn't even speak. He just hands him the belt.
It's just damn.
And that's a rarity.
But you know what that is, though? It's what the magicians call misdirection. You see how what's his face got the nod for doing things and helping Roman be good when, like you said, he hasn't done shit but just hand him a belt?
Yep. But he was at first. He brought Roman to where Roman is now.
Did he,
and
though?
Roman's learned from him. Roman's took. Paul Heyman's been teaching him.
I'm not going to deny that at all.
And I feel like that's why Roman's where he's at, is because he's actually listening to Heyman and putting into play what Heyman's taught him.
Roman's actually being the wingman to Roman. That's it, man. I think Roman's definitely going to... exceed. I think he's going to learn a lot from Paul. Thank you, Paul, for this, because you're making somebody who should years ago have been at the level they are now. Roman should have been at this level years ago. It shouldn't have taken Paul Heyman to do that shit, though. It's messed up.
But he was at that level. Go ahead, Pat.
It's always been a top level heel.
How do we feel Roman's going to go once crowds are back?
Roman's going to be fucking loved, bro.
Do you think it's still going to be the same?
Motherfuckers is going to boo.
As it is right now. Or do you think
they're going to boo Roman Reigns, but they're going to love Roman Reigns? I'll say this as the creator. Like, they're going to love Roman Reigns because he's an asshole. But he is that boss that you don't go to. Oh, I messed up. Oh, you messed up? Really? All right. Like, you know what? At 9:55, just stay over there by the ring. Don't worry about it. And then he fucking kills him and sends him to the dark zone, or where the fuck happens with Dominic. Because Dominic got wrecked. You get wrecked by the boss level in character, and that's Roman Reigns on SmackDown.
Okay, a question to ask. What exactly did Paul Heyman teach Roman Reigns?
I can say this, but I'm going to let Jason speak, and I want to get this out as a Roman fan.
He went from suffering succotash to the badass promo he does now.
I mean, but...
He went from being where I could not deal at all with any... Listen to his promos, I just wanted to turn them. To now, I actually sit and watch a promo. I actually listen because he's improved tenfold on the mic. And that just didn't happen overnight. That happened
Has he improved? Or is it that...
Yes.
But no. Is it that he's truly improved? Or is it that homie was always the same? But what's his face standing next to him makes it look like he's appeared.
All right. If we're going to take away from how Roman Reigns actually talks... When he talks, Roman Reigns, he has a dominant voice. he has a dominant position and posture. So when he delivers a promo, it actually feels like he's going to whoop somebody's ass. Paul Heyman does help it out tenfold. I'll say that because it's Paul fucking Heyman.
See,
what does that Roman mean, though? What does that mean, though? You're not telling me what he did to help like, Roman Reigns.
Like, exactly. And that's why I was...
He helped Roman Reigns. What I feel like is, like, he helped Roman Reigns by, like, I think he's giving, helping him be confident. That's what it is. We're getting Paul Heyman as a confidence bed or, like,
Okay, so I think
for Reigns.
Yo.
We all got the majority of us got kids. So when our kids first started to learn to walk.
Yeah.
We held their hands, we helped them walk, right?
Right, of course. I think what it is is
Heyman's there if Reigns needs them. He needed them a lot at first, but he's gotten better. And Heyman stepped back and said, you know what? Walk on your own now. It's yours.
Now, let me say what I've been trying to say. I actually feel that. I'm sorry.
I'll change my opinion to actually how that is. I'm sorry about the opinion that I was trying to throw right there, but you know what? I feel that right now. Actually, you're right.
And this is what I feel like, as I was trying to say earlier. It'd be wild to really not feel like he didn't pick some stuff up from Wes's face. I will give that. You got a wealth of knowledge and a microphone, like a microphone guy right next to you. You're going to ask some questions. However, what we've seen as far as factual points, factual things, you got to give this point to Pat. This man doesn't speak that much. He says things. He's cool at speaking. But when it's time to speak, Roman does most of the talking for that promo of what really matters. Yes.
Now he does.
Yes. He was quiet. But even then, Paul never really truly said shit. Roman sat there. Roman looked intimidating. Roman spoke when he spoke. But Paul has nothing but just say things. When it comes to actual promos, that's always been Roman. When it comes to doing things, talking towards the person he's going against, that's always been Roman.
Then where was Roman 3 years ago?
Roman was there. It's just Roman's been there. It's just Roman so happened. There's a face next to it that you like, so you equate it with him doing better. It's just that simple, which is why I made the whole misdirection thing.
So the Roman that's doing the promos he's doing now is the same Roman that was saying suffer and succotash wearing dad
jeans. I mean, but that's all
it's
but
not,
that's
the thing. It's not, bro, it's that's not the wildest same part.
All y'all got is the suffer and succotash. This man said that one time out of how long before turning heel? 3-4 years?
I'd say right now with the let's take the suffer and succotash in there. Let's take all the other bullshit ace promos he's done, which were fucking terrible. And we always knew that Roman was better as a heel. And he's knocking out the park as a heel because he comes off as a heel. What did I say from the other podcast? This is a dude that's gonna fuck your wife, look at you in the eye and be like, I'm done. Here you go. You get seconds to your wife, bro. What he's done in the SmackDown roster, he's made it seem like he is the top bitch. Top boss. Not top bitch. Sorry. And that's what he's doing. And then this is not one of those things where it doesn't feel fake. It feels organic. It feels like Roman Reigns would do this shit.
All right, let Pat get his shit off because I feel like Pat got some things to say.
All right. Dude, I kind of feel as if like the misdirection of saying Paul Heyman made him better is coming from people who are never fans of him. So it's kind of like one-sided. You guys are forgetting the Roman Reigns that debuted with the Shield, the Roman Reigns that kicked ass and dominated the Roman Reigns that you guys cheered for when he was in the ring with Batista at the Royal Rumble. Did you forget that?
Thank you.
Y'all cheered him on, and it wasn't until your fanboy Daniel Bryan came along, and all of a sudden the conversation went from Roman Reigns was great to, oh, Roman Reigns sucks, Roman Reigns is terrible, Roman Reigns can't promo. And just like with any top talent in WWE, once they get to a certain level, they have to go by what the corporate machine tells them. It happened to Hulk Hogan. It happened to John Cena. It happened to Randy Savage. Once you get to that level, there's a certain type of wrestling, a certain type of promo you can do. Roman Reigns was always a great. Roman Reigns was always a great heel. He always had good mic skills. Yeah. As a babyface, when writers are writing his shit for him, of course he's gonna say stuff from succotash. So what? But look at him now. Don't tell me what he did
to Pat's point. Wait. To Pat's point.
Okay, go ahead.
I want you to understand something, because a fan favorite, Dean Ambrose, said the exact same shit about writing things that writers will write and you have no choice but to say it. This man was forced to say some wild shit about fighting crackheads or some weird shit in the alleyways where he didn't want to do.
It was dumb. It was stupid.
Yeah. It was dumb as fuck. Suffering sacrifice. Dumb as fuck. Some things with the writers you gotta take on and you just gotta deal with. They have no choice against that. But y'all hold that against them.
I've been critical of Roman since day one. I didn't care for him much in the Shield. I always thought that Seth and Ambrose shined more than he did in the Shield, that he was just the lackey. He was just the one
I felt the same way. I felt like Ambrose was the shining star, but we don't see that now until Moxley came out.
Bro, that's crazy.
But go ahead.
And then, I always thought Ambrose was the brainchild behind Ambrose, the best. And then when Seth turned, Seth became the one that said, you know what? I got my eye on him. He's going to do great things. And that was how many years ago? And now I'm just saying that Roman's finally where he needs to be. I've never seen Roman shine until they took the Shield out of Roman.
Wow. You know what? Roman
the Shield has been Roman's identity since day one on the main roster. Even when they split, he still had the music. He still had the attire. He was still the last hope for the Shield.
Word.
And then when he changed up his, as they say, gimmick. I'm not a wrestler, so you know I don't like to talk the terms really. But
well, you could talk the terms. We all know the terms, kind of. Go ahead. Sorry.
As he changed his gimmick, he finally became something different, someone different. Yes, it's still Roman Reigns. That's still his name. He's still the same name he had whenever, but it's still, he's different. He finally, after all these years, he's distanced himself away from the Shield, and he's became someone new, someone completely different. And it's worked.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do you like Bret Hart?
No, I don't like Bret Hart. I don't think he's the greatest wrestler. Was he a good technical wrestler? Yes. Is he the best in the world? No.
Somebody that wrestling fans do like, and the reason why I bring him up is because everything you describe about Roman Reigns is the exact same thing about Bret Hart. Didn't change up his attire, didn't change his music, didn't change anything about him. Do you still say, oh, he's the Hart Foundation? No, you say he's Bret Hart. That's why Roman Reigns get the same treatment.
Thank you.
It's because you don't like him. That's all it is.
And that's always been our thing. Like, y'all come up with all these crazy reasons to why this and why that. It's like, bro, just say you don't fuck with him and end it. Like, it would be so much easier because you have to because once you start debunking the bullshit that is the bullshit, for example, Roman is what's his face's cousin, right? So clearly nothing can happen to him. Meanwhile, we've seen The Rock's cousins be let go. Like, we've seen it happen.
Right.
Rikishi, Rosie, Umaga, they aren't with the crew. I don't know if y'all noticed, but they aren't still working there. Yeah, I do know they were let go. So that idea is dumb. No. And I have to say these things because that idea is just it's wild. Mm. He's Vince's golden boy again. When have you seen Vince McMahon go out of his way to go on live television in front of millions of people to say that a certain person was, for lack of better word, not lack of his words, the chosen one?
And 3MB killed the chosen one.
Besides Drew McIntyre.
I don't give a fuck who killed who. The words that were spoken and the actions that happened. This man went on his word and said he was the chosen one and was fired. So the idea is that this is Vince's boy is bullshit. It's like once you start breaking down and getting rid of the reasons why Roman isn't great and you start debunking them, all that's left with is I just don't fuck with him. Nobody challenges me on Sting. You know why? Because I just tell them I'm not a fan of Sting.
Oh, I've said I'm not a fan of Roman.
We know you're not a fan of Sting, though.
I'm not a fan of Sting, but I also don't make reasons as to why he sucks. I don't make reasons as to why I don't like Sting. And when was the last time somebody challenged me on it? Was there any reason to challenge me on it? No, because
we spoke about it right before we were about to talk. If you guys want to bring that back up, that's fine.
I mean, we can.
A great discussion, if I may say, because Sting in his heyday versus Vader was a big talk in WCW.
I mean, he definitely was. But my point.
He brought eyes to the table for WCW.
He did. I'm not going to deny that. I never take away this man's.
What you stated about Crow's thing, go ahead. I'll let you. Go ahead.
I've just never been a fan of Sting. He's great in ring. I'll never take away his legendary status or his reasons for why he's a legend. I'll never take anything away from him. Me, Duck Goes Bang, never been a fan of Sting. Period. His matches bore me. They're just not for me. Him, not for me. He's not bad. He's just not for me. And that's cool.
The Stinger Splash wasn't cool for you. The Scorpion Deathlock.
Death Drop.
No.
Him coming down through the Raptors. His stupid back that can get shoved up his ass.
Sting was doing the Scorpion Death Drop, but he wasn't calling it that. It was called something else. Back in the day when he was Surfer Sting with the Ultimate Warrior and all that other shit. If you guys don't remember, Ultimate Warrior and Sting used to tag a team. As a fact for you guys. But, so you never liked Sting from the Surfer Sting. You didn't like Sting from the NWO Sting, the TNA Sting. You didn't, all that. Just throw it out.
I've never been a fan of Sting.
Not even Joker Sting?
No, I hate Joker Sting especially. It's just not for me. It's cool. It's funny. I get it. But again, it's not for me. And that's fine. But I'm not out here, and I'm not saying everybody else got to be me, but this is the reason why people come at everybody else, because it's like, y'all's reasons for why not to like this man is just bull. Instead of y'all just saying, yeah, I don't like him, which is what Pat said. And every time he says it's no, it's that. It's that.
Let Pat talk to you, though.
I'm going to let Pat talk. Let him get his shit off.
How many times have I said I don't like Roman? I've come out and said I don't like his character. I don't like his person. But even I got to give Roman Reigns, as of June 14th, 2021, I gotta give the man his day.
Okay.
I gotta say he's doing good, his character's great, and he's improved tenfold from what he was when he from the Shield day.
That's awesome. I want to hear that shit. You know, because you're still watching it and you're still giving your judgment on it. Even if you don't like it, like, it's like, all right, I like that though.
Do I care for Roman as a wrestler? Not really.
No.
I mean, I don't want to see the man get fired, lose his job, whatever. I don't want to see that. I don't wish that upon nobody. But do I think that they've kind of set him up to where there's really nobody to take it away from him?
Nobody.
On SmackDown?
Nobody.
There's nobody. I mean, he has nobody that can say, I'm going to fuck a bitch, as you said earlier. You know, I mean, Roman's the top dog. There's really nobody that can challenge that top dog status from him.
We went from Mankind to back to Roman. And then I think, guys, if you have the, because I think we're going over an hour with this one now.
Before we end it, I want to hear the whole Orange Cassidy Dude Love thing. We never got to hear
it.
I want to hear that because that sounds like a great matchup.
So for me, I just thought of the whole comedic aspect of Orange Cassidy, hands in the pockets, kicking the shins or whatever, just all comically, and just Dude Love's wacky persona, just making for great television. That's simply what it was.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think it'd be great.
It was one of those joke matches that happens, and they're like, yo, but they're going to put on a classic if they need to. So, guys, we're done with the actually Mick Foley stuff. And unless you guys have any other ideas for Mick Foley, all three faces of Foley, including Mick Foley himself, that's four, versus anybody in the damn WWE right now, active, or AEW, or New Japan, if you guys want to be brave.
Let's see. Real quick. Even in AEW, New Japan, I ain't really New Japan, bro. I'll be honest with you. I like to see Mankind versus Suzuki.
Suzuki, okay, cool. I say Mankind versus Ishii. Imagine that shit.
I mean, I'm with that too.
Yo, that'd just be like hell. That'd be hell in a cell without hell in a cell.
I want to see Mankind versus Broken Hardy.
Who?
That would be a good
one. Broken
Hardy.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Wait. Broken Hardy, not WWE Broken Hardy.
No, I'm talking about.
That's important. That's important.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about AEW Broken Hardy. I want OG Broken Hardy.
Yes. I agree with that.
All right.
Lee, what do you feel like? Anything else?
This may be a bit of a surprise, but I'd actually like to see Jay White versus Cactus Jack.
Yo! Wow! That'd be dope for just New Japan itself, because they would host that, and they would, like, make them go... I think they'd go full on, because Cactus Jack, obviously, Mick Foley would be like, hey, we're gonna do tables, ladders, chairs... Here's pins and needles, and then Jay White's gonna be like, why? I hate you. And still do it, though. He's a good... I fucking hate Jay White, but he's actually a decent hand. I'll say that.
In a perfect world, I'd like to see Brody versus Mankind.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be a great match.
I actually miss Brody Lee now. When people like say Brody Lee and anything, I'm just like, I've actually missed him as a talent now.
I'm not saying
the way he did a match
from his name.
Yeah,
I'm saying it because I think it would actually be a really good match to see, because Brody was great, especially after seeing him in that dog collar match with Cody. That was an amazing match. And it brought way, way more points towards his name than anything. And people finally started realizing how good of a wrestler he was right then and there. And then, of course,
you know, if you follow him in WWE, before WWE, all that stuff, Brodie Lee was an amazing, fantastic wrestler. Actually, he should have gotten the title at the WrestleMania as a weird, out of nowhere kind of thing, in my opinion.
But that's coming from us who's followed wrestling. But for the typical fan who just, you know, maybe I'll watch wrestling this week, maybe I won't, you know, whatever. That dog collar match brought way more value to his name than what the fan that seen him everywhere he went would know.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think, unfortunately, if it wouldn't have been for the lung, you know, the breathing problem, I can't remember what they said he had actually, but
I believe it was cancer. But I mean, no, sorry if it's not that.
Whatever the lung problem was, I don't want to name something and it not be that. But if it wasn't for that, I honestly think that one, maybe 10, 15 years down the road from now, he could have had a Drew McIntyre story of coming back, being let go, going to another promotion, making a big name for himself, and then coming back and winning the big gold in WWE. Or I'm not discrediting AEW or anybody saying they're not.
No, I'm not. That sounds like that actually. No. I feel like he would have just come back like in 5 years' time, like won the AEW title if nothing happened, because he was running the group that he was part of. Sorry, the Order, the Dark Order, but he was. I mean, his death hit hard, you know, and it wasn't one of those things that I expected or anybody expected from this team, you know, rest in peace for him, for his kid. But I felt like maybe he was on line to be the top star and then to run AEW, actually. I'm going to say that.
I can agree with that. I think he would have been one of the top stars in AEW. The Dark Order was on its way to be one of the biggest groups in AEW. And especially one of the best followings, because you can actually go to the website and join it like it's a club.
I've seen that. That's actually pretty cool. Tribal Chief, the Tribal Chef, sorry, Jay, Douglas Bang, everybody else, come on.
Yeah.
You guys
I was trying to say a match, but I kept getting hold of talk.
I'm sorry.
Nah, y'all good. Do Love versus Naito. Like, I'm surprised nobody said that.
Oh, shit.
Like, Do Love versus Naito. Right. Like, makes sense, right?
Naito likes to take his time. Do Love takes his time. He likes to have that little. Ooh, wow, man, that'd been a smooth match too, because they're one of those people who are wrestlers who protect each other, but they make sure that the match has to
go on. Snap. But I think also that with a Naito match, that you could get all versions of Mick Foley, and by all versions, I mean even with Mick Foley, if you came out to a Do Love match, him versus Do Love, Do Love comes out, boom, they do their little spiel, something happens, you trigger the Mankind in them, right? Somehow with Naito magic, you manage to get the Mankind out of him and get him to Mick Foley.
Uh-oh.
You know, Mick Foley happened, a crazy ass spot happens, maybe Naito lands him on his head, kicks him in the head, whatever. Cactus Jack comes out. Now it's a hardcore free fall between the two. You know what I'm saying? So it could work.
Definitely work like that. Definitely. Wow. That's actually a good, like, perception for Mankind. I mean, Mick Foley himself can just, like, generate, like, classic matches. Does anybody else want to join in and say anything else before we sign off?
I have one thing to say real quick. I know we went from Mankind to Roman, but for all y'all who say Roman sucks, the fact that we spent most of our time talking about him just proves that he doesn't. That's all.
Bro, talk that shit. This is going to be no. It just means,
I think it just means that when you ask the question and we got to explain
ourselves.
You see what I mean? I'm a long talker, so I got to explain my point and how I feel about it.
And we'll say that Jason is the only one who's been consistent with a Roman hate. He's honest. He's been a Roman hater from the beginning, so I'll give him credit for that.
And that's the thing. I want to make this clear. I never took away Jason's hate for Roman. I never once talked about that. I don't have an issue with that. My issue is the reasons behind why people hate Roman. Is why I hate that shit. That's more so the reason.
You hate the hate that's happening.
Okay.
Because it's unnecessary, the whole go off the rocks cousin thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Tell me why Nas. We'll discuss that another time. We can discuss that another time,
but let's keep it a
bit. Hold on. Did you just set up his next guest podcast for us? That he set himself up for that shit. I like that. Alright, Pat Lee, you have to be a part of it too then.
Because I kind of agree with him on Nia Jax, but not maybe to that level. Shit. But that is definitely something we should have for next podcast.
But even I agree that Nia Jax isn't that great in ring. I just don't think that she sucks as bad as everybody makes her seem. Like, if we're gonna have this conversation, we can truly have this conversation. I don't think people gonna like the way this conversation is gonna end. But we can have that conversation because I can tell you why people, and not Jason, I can just say people in general was really the issue with Nia Jax, but we can save that for another day.
We'll table that for another time. Guys, thank you so much for Raw Wrestling Alliance Radio that we have the best people a part of it. Thank you so much, Rimrock. Thank you so much for Duck Goes Bane. Thank you for Jay. Thank you so much for the Tribal Chef.
Yes, sir.
This has been an awesome episode ever.
Anytime.